Good morning.
Thanks, Lauren.
You know, it's really interesting because I want to encourage you to invite people out to Easter. Actually, this coming Easter, next Sunday, it's officially our 17th anniversary since our grand opening. Our official grand opening. We started meeting before that, but our official grand opening was on Easter in 2007. So it's been 17 years, and actually it happens to be the last day for a while, at least, that we'll be at here at this location. And so invite people out, come on out. It's going to be an awesome time. So encourage you to do that. Well, today we're continuing our series, Stronger Together, and we're looking at the book of Ephesians. And as we grow as individuals, then, and we become stronger as individuals, we collectively become stronger. And so today's message is kind of a challenge to grow stronger in our relationship with the Lord. I'm going to start by sharing, I think, one of the most significant Bible truths for living the Christian life. I know this truth has been powerful, significant, just really impactful in my own walk with the Lord in my own Christian life, okay? The truth is this. Ready? Something has to happen to you before it can happen through you. This is ingrained in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. Something has to happen to you. You have to not only know, but experience something first, before that, whatever that is, can happen in and through your life. Put another way, if nothing is happening through you, then nothing has happened to you. And this truth is basically the outline for the book of Ephesians. We've been seeing this kind of outline in the past. So it goes like this. Chapter 1 through 3 of Ephesians, Paul talks about knowing it, knowing Christ's life, understanding who Christ is, understanding what he has done for us and who we are in Christ, our identity, our new identity in Christ. And then chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Paul talks about it's not enough just to know it in our minds. We have to experience it. We have to feel it. We have to encounter Jesus personally in our lives, you know, because you don't really know something until you experience that thing. And then the last half of Ephesians, chapter 4 through 6, it's living it. It's living Christ's life. And so before you can, thank you, Brandon Hojo, for this new, okay. Before you can live the Christian life, before it can happen through you, you have to know Christ. You have to know the life that he gives to us. And not only know it in our heads, but then you have to experience Christ himself. You can't live it until you know it and experience. And the more you know it, the more you experience not only his life, but Jesus himself, then the more you will live the life. It'll happen through you. And so today, we are going to flesh out, Paul fleshes out in Ephesians chapter 5, what this Christian life, what this looks like. All right, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to look through 1 through 21. All right. Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Actually, in the Greek, the word could be mimic. Mimic God. Copy God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. God created you. God made you in his very image. In his very likeness. And his goal for you is that you and I would be like him, a copy of him in certain ways, right? Genesis 1:27, it says, God said, let us make man in our own image. So he made man in his own image, male and female, he created them. God made us to be in his image. And that's his goal for us. His goal for us to be in his image, and for us, it is to be like Christ. Because Christ was the exact representation of the nature of God, it says in Hebrews. So God created us, wants us, his goal for us, his vision for us, his dream for us is to be like Jesus, to be like Christ. And the only way you could be like Jesus is if you are experiencing Jesus. The more you know and experience Jesus, that's the only way we can be like him. Let's go on, verse 2. Verse 2, Paul says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. Notice that's past tense. He says, as Christ has loved you, then you love in that way. And gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Paul says, don't just talk the talk, but what? Walk the walk. Notice the order here, right? He says, walk in love just as Christ has loved you. Does that sound familiar? It's something has to happen to you before it could happen through you. It says, walk in love as Christ has already loved you, as Christ has demonstrated his love for you, as you are experiencing his love. Something, Christ, his love, has to happen to us. We need to experience it before we can live it out towards others. Jesus loved us. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus is the most loving person who has ever lived on earth. And we can experience him face to face, his love, his heart for us. And as we know his love, as we experience his love, then we can love others in turn. This principle is all throughout the Bible. Forgive one another. Why? How? As God in Christ has forgiven you. God forgives us. We understand his forgiveness. We experience his forgiveness by confessing our sins. And then that gives us the power and the ability to forgive others. It says, comfort one another as God has comforted you. God comforts us. We experience his comfort. Then that gives us the power and ability to comfort others. Jesus says, what? Love one another. How? As I have loved you. Something has to happen to you before it can happen through you. And now Paul goes on to elaborate what living the Christian life looks like. What it looks like. He gives us a picture. He gives us a description. He sets the standard of what living like Christ looks like. And he calls it our walk. Our walk is living like Christ, right? And he describes three different types of walks, right? Three different ways we could be walking, okay? First one is this. Number one, the number one walk, walk number one, it's walking as the sinner, okay? Walking as the sinner. And really, this is not walking like Christ at all, right? Not like, it's not walking like Christ at all. It's not walking the walk at all. Okay, let's look. Verses 3 through 6. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty. So this is something Paul knew that they fully, fully, completely understood. He says, this you know for certainty. What is it? That no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Whoa. That means this person, an unbeliever, is still in their sin. Their identity is that of a sinner. And if that is your condition, Paul clearly says, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He makes it even further clear, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Immorality, impurity, greed, dirty talk. If you are seeing these types of behaviors, any of these types of behaviors, any of these related behaviors in your talk, in your actions, in your attitude, it should be a warning sign. It should be a warning sign. A warning sign that we are not walking like Christ and there's deeper issues going on in our life and in our faith. You know, bad behavior like Paul's describing, it's like those warning lights on your dashboard. You know, lately my van, my car, I've been getting the warning light coming on, right? And it's like, check engine light. It comes on, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, you get a little scared, right? Because it's like, is the car going to blow up, right? Or something going to happen? So you make an appointment right away, and they check it, and it was like, it's okay. It's just this. It's kind of this pipe, or this one of the pipes, or what do they call it? Hose. One of the hoses, right? Something's wrong with one of the hoses. He goes, it's okay. It's not dangerous. You can keep driving. But then, like, he fixed it. Turned off that warning light. But then it keeps coming on. And then it'll go off. And then it'll come on. And it'll go off. So it's a little unnerving, but I go, okay, well, he said it's okay. But it's a warning, right? Something is going on internally with the car. When you're seeing these kind of behaviors, immorality, impurity, greed, covetousness, right? It should be a warning light. A warning light that something is not right internally. Something is going on internally. Now, we'll apply it to two types of people, believers and non-believers, okay? Let's say you're not a believer, and all of us were not believers at one time. All of us were in this same boat. If you're not a believer and you're seeing these behaviors, it confirms several things. One, you don't have Jesus. There's no Jesus in your life. You have no forgiveness. No eternal life, no Holy Spirit, no new life. Your spirit is still dead. And it confirms that you're in serious trouble. You're in trouble if that's your state, because one day you will have to go before a holy God based on your own merits. He's holy, absolutely pure and perfect. And you will have to face him, and you will have to go before his judgment seat by yourself, on your own. That's why Paul says in verse 5, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. If you do not have Christ, I am sorry, but you are a son or daughter of disobedience. You are still a sinner. You do not have the forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, to cover your sins. You will have to face judgment by yourself on your own before a holy God. So that's for a believer. That's for a non-believer. What about for a believer? What if you're a believer and you start starting to see and you have some of these behaviors in your life? Well, as a believer, you've received forgiveness. You've received the life, the very life of the Spirit of God. You have a new identity. You've been born again with a new identity as a son or daughter of God. You've been changed. We've been changed internally from sinner to saint. The Bible says in Ephesians, we saw that earlier, that when God sees us, he sees us as holy and blameless in his eyes. No longer sinners, saints, sons and daughters, holy and blameless. But if we're seeing immorality, impurity, greed, dirty talk, all these kinds of things in our lives, warning sign. Because it means that there is a major disconnection or short circuit between us and who we really are, who we truly are in Christ. There's a disconnect going on. Like I said, like just the diagram we looked at before. Right here, your life. If we're not living Christ's life, if there is immorality, impurity, greed, all those kinds of things mentioned, that means there's something not happening in terms of us knowing Christ. There's something not happening in terms of our, especially our experience Christ. So it's coming out in our behavior. It's coming out in our behavior. If bad things are happening through you, then God is not happening to you. Is there something that you're doing that you know is not right? That you know is not in alignment with God, his standards, who he is, who he made you to be. You know, this is heavy. I know this is heavy. But God clearly spoke to me about this. I believe he gave me clear prophetic word about this very issue. And his prophetic word is, if you're seeing some of those behaviors, this is his prophetic word to you and to me. It's this. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You know, sometimes I feel, it just hit me, I go, sometimes we don't hear that. We don't hear just stop. That behavior, stop it. You know, I have two grandsons, three-year-old grandsons, Hudson, we call it Huddy, right? And sometimes I roughhouse with him, play rough with, you know, we just mess around, jump on each other, play. And then sometimes my wife, Dale, right, she sees that. And then sometimes when I'm playing with Huddy, I get a little too rough, and she sees Huddy kind of suffering a little. And then she told Hudson, she said, Huddy, if Papa does that to you, you say, stop, Papa. So we were playing, I was getting a little rough, and he's going, stop, Papa. What I got to do, I got to respect my grandson. I got to, okay, stop. But then, as we were kind of playing, and he was kind of jumping on me, starting to pull my hair, I go, stop, Huddy. This is God's word to you. Clearly, it was clear. If these things are going on, he says, Stop it. Stop that. You know, it's true that in John 4, it says, perfect love casts out fear. Because in love, there is no fear of judgment, right? Perfect love, we hear all that, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. However, there is a proper fear of the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about fear of the Lord. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. And it's not fear like terror, but it's reverence and awe of who God is. You know, there's an old worship song, right? Jesus is a friend. Jesus is a friend. He's the friend next to you. Jesus is a friend. So sing along, right? And Jesus is a friend. He's our best friend. But there's other lyrics too, I think. Jesus is Almighty Holy God. He's Almighty Holy God next to you. Jesus is all powerful God next to you. And so Jesus is a friend and loves us unconditionally, but he's holy God. All powerful. The God above all gods. And so, if we truly revere and are in awe of him, we need to address behaviors that are not pleasing to him. Okay? So that's the first walk. It's walk number one. It's the sinner really not walking with God at all. Walk number two, the hider. Partially walking with God. I kind of thought this is like, you know, the walking dead. It's like zombie. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light. You know, that's why for certain, like for me, when I study like the epistles, they're so dense. They're so meaty. The words are so significant that I personally like to use word-for-word translations. That's why this is NASB. There's also ESV. There's other word-for-word translations. Because the words are very important. Because look at this. It says in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness. It doesn't say you were formerly in darkness, right? It says you were darkness. You were formerly darkness, but now you what? Are light. And then the NASB, it's really interesting because they put capital L. What's that mean? Jesus. That's God's end game for you. That's God's end game for us, that we would be just like Jesus. So he says, you were not just in darkness, you were darkness. But now because of Jesus, you are light. In fact, you are not just any light, you are the light. You carry the light within you. Powerful. Yeah. You are light in the Lord. Walk. Live as children of light. Live who you are. Live out who you are. You are no longer darkness. You are light in the Lord. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, the Lord is pleased with you all the time. He's pleased with you all the time in the sense that you are his child who he loves. He cannot love you any less than he loves you now. He cannot love you anymore. He loves you 100% as much as he could love you. So you are pleasing to him. But when we behave and act in alignment with him, with his will, when we honor him with our lives, he is blessed. Every parent understands this. We have our children. We love them, right? Unconditionally, all the time. But sometimes we don't like what they do. Sometimes we get angry with what they do or when they behave, right? My grandson, Huddy, who I was wrestling with during service, he came up to me and he said, "Hi, Papa," and he just hugged me. I love him, no matter what. He's my grandson. He pleases me. But when he does that, just feel blessed. That's what this is talking about. Don't you want to bless God? Just make him happy. Your life is pleasing to him. He's already pleased by you. But give him that extra blessing. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This passage, this section has a lot of contrast. Light and darkness, visible and invisible, exposed and secret. With this walk, this particular, like number two, Paul describes the dangers of having hidden things in our lives. It might look good on the outside, but do you have secrets hidden inside? You know, when I grew up with lots of, because I have lots of cousins. And when we had birthday parties, we had both sides, tons of cousins out at the house. And sometimes we would play hide and seek. We play hide and seek at night outside in the neighborhood. And we would go all hide. And you know, sometimes you'd find this really good hiding space. And they're never going to find me here. Right, and you were there, and you're there, and you see him running around, you see all, you know, going touch home, and you're there, and you're there, and you're hiding. They're never gonna find me. And then after a while, it gets quiet. Right? It gets quiet, and then you don't see any kids running around anymore, and you're still there hiding, but you don't want to come out because it's like, this is such a good space. But they forgot. They quit, right? They quit, they went inside, right? Some of us have things that have been hidden for years. No one knows. No one else really knows about it. And you don't want anyone to know. The problem is this. The longer things are hidden, the longer things are in darkness, the more power it gains in your life. The more power, the more control, and the greater ability to keep us in bondage. Has anyone ever heard of Hiro Onoda? Hiro Onoda? Anyone heard of Hiro Onoda? Hiro Onoda was a Japanese intelligence officer during World War II. Right here, Hiro Onoda. And he was assigned to Lubang Island in the Philippines during World War II. When the U.S. invaded and captured the island, he and three other soldiers ran and hid, and they went into the jungle. And those three, eventually, the three others were killed. So it was just Hiro. Do you know how long Hiro stayed in the jungle hiding and waging his own personal war? 10,000 days. Almost 30 years. He stayed hidden in the jungle. And they said after a while, he killed several people, like farmers. And they would try to, you know, they would drop leaflets and say the war is over. And he thought that was all propaganda. Until after 30 years, this is a picture of him finally coming out of hiding. Don't keep your stuff hidden for years and years and years. Verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. The very thing you're hiding, the very thing that you feel maybe guilty or ashamed of or feel embarrassed by, when you bring it to the light, which is the Lord, He can transform and take that very thing and turn it into light. When we expose those things to the Lord, He transforms them. And He frees them because Christ came to set us free. And He wants every part of you. He doesn't want there to be anything in your life of darkness that is keeping you in bondage. How do we bring it to the light? Confession. Confession brings it to the light. It breaks the power of the hiddenness, things in darkness. It breaks the power in our lives. And Jesus transforms those things and transforms us by His love and His grace and His forgiveness. If you want a place to confess, go to our prayer ministry teams. Sign up for our prayer ministry teams. They are safe. They are loving. They are skilled. They are caring. They are confidential. And that could be a place where you could feel safe to share and bring things out of darkness into the light. We have prayer ministry teams, deliverance teams, intensive prayer ministry group. We have so many. And I know some of you have had things hidden for years. We've talked about prayer ministry teams till we're blue in the face. I've heard people say, yeah, I need to do that. And then it's 5 years later. Yeah, I need to do that. And then it's 10 years later. Yeah, I need to do that. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Ollie, ollie, oxen free. Christ is yelling that. Come out of hiding. Don't keep that stuff in hiding because it's only hurting you. I want to love you in that place. I want to set you free. Second one is a hider. I'm just going to go quickly over this last one. It's walk number three, the partner. Walking the walk with God. Let's just read it real quick. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Boy, are they. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God,
even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. He says, be careful how we live. Walk as wise and not as foolish people. Make the most of our time. The activities we engage in can either help or hurt our walk with Christ. Some choices we make feed our spirit, help open and broaden and widen the connection from our soul to our spirit, from our mind and thinking to our spirit, from our feelings and emotions to our spirit, from our will to our spirit. Some activities we can engage in can open that conduit wider to the spirit, so the spirit can flow greater in our lives. Some choices we make feed the flesh. The flesh is the remnant of our sinful nature, which has been crucified in Christ. But the flesh remains. And sometimes when we sow certain activities, we can sow to the flesh. And that conduit can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if the flesh is operating in our lives, we will not experience or live the Christian life. I'm just going to give you one challenge and example for the flesh and one activity that you could do for the spirit, okay? For the flesh, I'm becoming convinced this is like one of the biggest flesh activators. This right here. I've come to believe that this, because of how this works, the addictive nature of the phone, social media, I believe this is affecting, I've seen it, this is affecting marriages. This is affecting relationships. This is affecting families. This right here, it's affecting our brains. Look at this. I just Google searched this, and these are the top seven articles or links that came up having to do with your, that's such a oxymoron, smartphone, right? It's making us dumb. These are the titles. Dopamine, smartphones, and you, a battle for your time, Harvard. Constant craving, how digital media turned us all into dopamine addicts, The Guardian. How smartphones hijack the brain, Brain Facts. Putting down your phone may help you live longer, New York Times. Why is my phone so addictive, Psychology Today. What your phone might be doing to your brain, and UNC. 7 reasons to break your smartphone addiction. This is created to be addictive because you just could keep swiping and looking at what you want and what you like when you want it. And when you do that, it's why it affects the brains, because it's dopamine. It's the dopamine. It's the chemical dopamine that gives you that hit of anticipating. You don't think you're addicted? When you misplace or lose your phone, how do you feel? This past week, I was at my daughter's house, my son-in-law's house. No. My daughter Mindy, she brought the grandkids over. So we have Hudson 3, Caden, 1-year-old, 15 months. He finds my phone. He picks up my phone. He starts doing this. He doesn't always do, but he's doing this. And when you try to take it away, he starts grabbing onto it. Challenge. Limit this. Fast. This. A lot of those articles say you should fast this for 12 or 24 hours. It helps to reset your brain. This is a big time flesh activator. So address it. We need to address it. One activity to activate your spirit, to open up the spirit, learn to hear God's voice every day. I'm going to do a class on it. It's going to be not a class, boot camp. Hearing God boot. There's homework you got to do. If you don't do it, you're out. Hearing, connecting with God every day, that is the most important thing you can do, greater than any book, greater than any seminar, greater than any counselor, greater than any YouTube or TED Talk or hobby or anything you can do for your life. Because connecting with God in that way, you are experiencing and encountering the Lord. And if you want to live the life of Christ, something has to happen to you. You have to experience something before it can happen through you. And what has to happen to you is you have to encounter God. There's all these spiritual activities. You know, the usual suspects, read your Bible, pray, you know, be in fellowship, come to church, you know, listen to worship, all these, serve, right? There's all these things. You can do those activities, but if you're not encountering God in those activities, it's just an activity. When you come to church on Sunday, it could just be an activity you do, or it could be an opportunity for you to encounter and experience God. And that's what changes our lives. It's not the activities, it's God. It's experiencing God. I keep telling you this, I'm going to keep telling you this. When I started journaling, and it's not journaling like a diary, it's journaling, I just sit there and say, God, speak to me. And I've learned and I've developed the skill of hearing his voice. I do it every Monday through Friday. Every Monday through Friday, I do it. And I just keep it very short. I've been doing it probably for about the last 7 or 8 years. That has been the most transformative thing in my life. Because God speaks to me. He directs me. He corrects me. He expresses his love to me. He affirms me. One of the things, one of the things I was really surprised by, because I feel like I'm a pretty easygoing person. Things don't really rile me up. I don't get, I'm pretty, but one of the things when I started sitting, I was surprised how often, at least a couple of times a week, God would say, don't fret. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. And he would speak to me about specific things. And I go, oh. And then I could feel it. I could feel a little anxiety, a little anxiousness. And then I would just kind of, the Lord would just speak to me and I would just give it to him. And what I learned is like, if you're ever feeling anxious about something, then it's very likely you're going to respond to that situation in your flesh. Because that anxiousness, that worry, it causes you, it opens up the channel to your flesh. And you're probably going to either act rashly, try to force something, you're going to, you know, be out of sync in terms of timing. And so, learn to hear God's voice, or learn to encounter God every single day. Sinner, hider, partner. What do you want your walk to be with the Lord? He says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Walk as children of light. Let's bow forward in prayer. Lord, thank you for your awesome goodness and grace and power and love that you want and desire to restore us to be in your image, to manifest your image, your very likeness in us. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus. Jesus, you're awesome. You're amazing. We thank you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being active in our lives. Thank you for coming to make resident in our lives. Holy Spirit, move in us that in our day-to-day lives, we would be intimately connected with you. We would encounter you daily. We would experience you, that you can grow in us the person of Jesus, and we might experience the life you created us for. Thank you, God. Lord, and if there's any areas of our lives where there's immorality, impurity, greed, filthy talk, Lord, anything that's not pleasing to you, would you just shine a light onto that place that we might bring it to you and confess it to you and be set free. Thank you, God. And now we just want to love on you, worship you, come before you, experience you, Lord, as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.